Good morning. So I am really excited to share with you this morning. God revealed something to me in Scripture last week. Thanks, Ivan. And I was busy kind of thinking about Abraham and how important it was for him to continually hear God, so he didn't miss the second time God called him. And I just felt this stirring where God was telling me, just go and look that up in Scripture. So I did. I started reading through, and then I saw something, and I was like, And then God said, now go and read about Samuel, because he also heard God. So went to a passage in Samuel, started reading, and I saw the same thing. And I was like, And it was incredible just to see the way God starts revealing stuff in his Scripture like that. And it was so exciting, I just continued to sort of read around the Word more, dig more. The more I dug, the more I found, and just the more excited it got. So I really believe that I've heard God talk about, or ask me to share about, hearing God. So one of the questions that often comes up in terms of when people say that I hear God is how? How do you hear God? And so there's different ways that we can actually hear God. Some people hear God audibly, like Samuel. Some in dreams and visions. I was talking to Auntie Leslie yesterday, and she said she had this moment. She was sat there quietly, so peaceful. She was just getting, almost starting to doze off. And then she heard this audible voice in her ear. It said, your battery is running low. So then she needed to charge a hearing aid. But there are times when some people do audibly hear God. And I had one of those times where I don't know if I was dreaming or if it really happened. But I'd set my alarm to have quiet time. I must have turned it back off, gone back to sleep. And you know when somebody wakes you up, when they're kind of away somewhere and they go and wake you up and it's like, Grant, Grant! And it's this sort of soft call first and then it gets louder. And I was there just dozing back into Never Never Land and I heard this, Gary. Gary! I sort of jumped up out of bed. I looked around. My wife's still sleeping. It wasn't her. And there was just this sense of, my goodness me, was that God just talking audibly? It's in this place. I'm like, yes, Lord. I didn't hear anything. But I decided to definitely use that moment to get up and just go and have my quiet time, spend it with him. But it was definitely a cool moment of, wow, did I really just hear God audibly or not? There's other times that God will speak to people through examples. He'll highlight things. So we were speaking to somebody during the week, and they said that they'd been in a place of really having to sort of just trust God for provision. And we just felt, let's just send them, direct them back to God. And it's like, you've got to hear God. You've got to hear God for yourself. So we encouraged them to do that. And then we met with them later, and they said, no, we went for a drive, we had worship music on, and then I felt God say, let me just turn the worship music off and just drive and try and hear God. It's like, speak, Lord. And as they was driving around, windows open for a bit of the journey, and they start seeing birds everywhere. And then they hear the birds. And just on this whole drive, every moment, there's such an awareness, God's just highlighting birds to them. And so they shared with us about this. And I says, well, what was God saying to you in it? I said, well, you know, there's that scripture in the Bible. Look at the birds of the air. How much I care for these. How much I provide for these. And are you not so much more important than them? How much more will I care for you? And so sometimes God will highlight things to talk to us. Other times it's that quiet voice. You heard that quiet voice inside your head. You know when you're going down the highway, and God says, there's a speed trap ahead, slow down. No, me neither, because we're Christians. We've never heard that. But there are, let me give a better example. Maybe you've been in the shops, and you're kind of at the till, and there's a long queue. You've been queuing for a while, and this little voice says, you need to go and buy more milk. And it's like, but I'm in the queue, the milk's all the way, do I really? No, I'm sure I've got enough milk at home. And you go and get home. And your spouse says to you, oh, I'm so glad you're back. We're out of milk. Can you go to the shops and get it? Has that happened to anyone before? Has me. I was in the queue once at Woolies, and the weekend is Xbox weekend for the kids. They can't play it during the week. So they're forever needing new batteries for their remotes. And I once bought, Woolies had this special on batteries, so we got a whole load of them, and I thought that will last a good few months. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in Woolies going through the queue there, and the batteries are being highlighted to me. And I look, and I'm like, no, they're not on special. I'm not going to get the batteries now. I'll wait till they come on special. We should still be good. Get back home within an hour, both boys. Dad, batteries are flat. We need more batteries. So we often get those times where we start to recognize when it's God's voice and how he's speaking to us. But the question is, when he does speak to us, why does he speak to us? Is it to save us going all the way back to Pick and Pay for milk or Woolies for batteries? Or is there something more than that that he wants to do when he's speaking to us? And so I believe that there are different reasons why God wants to speak to us. You know, because quite often we get into this place where we ask God for what we want rather than asking God for what he wants. And we treat him like this kind of spiritual guru or this genie in a lamp. You know, you get these young single guys and they sort of, we heard about the pursuing of ladies, and they see this lady and they really need help from the genie in the lamp to tell them how to make this lady my wife. So they rub the lamp, out he pops, it is I, Jesus, here at your service. How can I help you? It's like, well, Jesus, I've seen this lady and I think I'd love her to be my wife. Can you help tell me how to get her to be my wife? And you continue pursue, and eventually she becomes your wife. And then after a little while, you start realizing, there's a few things wrong with her. I need help to fix her. It is I. Listen. Jesus, this woman that you gave me, she's broken. This woman that I gave you. Or other times in life where people are struggling with their boss not being so nice to them. I need help. Can you tell me how to get the boss to be better to me and to recognize my talents? Or maybe we struggle with finances. Hey, Jesus, tell me how to help get more finances and not be in this situation. And so often, for us, I think realistically, for a big part of our walk, that becomes the why of why we want to try and hear God. And then when he doesn't speak to us, we get all miffed and disappointed because we're not hearing him, he doesn't speak to us. And although he loves us, and although that is part of a why, he wants this relationship with us and he cares for us, I think there's a bigger why, which is more why he wants us to be able to hear him. And I believe that there's four main reasons. The first is for us to get to know God. The second is for us to become more like God. The third is for us to help others to get to know God. And the fourth, to help others to become more like God. And so from his side, this is really much more of the why. As the first part, getting to know God. He wants us to know him. He says in the book of John, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And when I saw this scripture and this whole analogy, and I always thought it was kind of the sheepdog that's more guiding the sheep. And I thought, do the sheep really listen to the shepherd's voice? And then God reminded me, we stay on the golf estate and our garden kind of backs onto the 18th hole, the whole fairway there. And we've got these wild birds, franklins or pheasants. And just over the time that we've been there, started feeding these birds and they'll come, they'll eat out the hand. But it's got to the point where I can stand in the garden, they can be out of sight around the corner, and I start whistling and calling them. Anybody else can whistle, it won't happen. I whistle and call. You see these birds, they come running around in a straight line, running towards me, jump over the fence and come and get the food. And they've learned to recognize my voice as wild birds. And so I started studying around the whole thing of shepherds and sheep. And I saw that it is actually the same thing. The mature sheep get to a place of learning to recognize the shepherd's voice. And they associate his voice with provision and care. Just want to grab some more of this. Associate his voice with provision and care. The younger sheep, they're in a place where they're just following the other sheep. Kind of like, where are you going? I don't know, following you. But they follow the pack in this place, whereas the older sheep start to actually recognize the shepherd's voice. And eventually the younger sheep get to a place of recognizing the shepherd's voice as well. And I think it's a great analogy of our faith walk, that initially our faith is based on the faith of others, the faith of those around us. Now, our faith is based on either what we hear preached, what we hear read, our family. And then as time goes on, we start to build a faith based on our own faith, our own revelation of God. And I think my kids are a great example of this. I've got my two boys that right now, their faith is based entirely on mine and my wife's faith. And as they've grown up, they've kind of grown up in our faith. But my daughter is now at an age where she's starting to hear God for herself. And so she's getting a fuller faith, which is based on her revelation of God, of actually hearing him for herself. And without being in a place of having that revelation of hearing God, you can't walk in a fullness of faith. So you might be in church for the first time here this morning, and if you are, it's probably because somebody else has shared their faith with you. But God does want to take each and every one of us to a place where we can actually hear him for ourselves, walk in that faith walk. Without being in that place, without hearing God, we can't actually know God. So let's look at becoming more like Jesus. Now, where did it all go wrong? Because scripture says that initially we was made in the image of man. It says God made man in his own image. My wife said it all went wrong with God made man. Right? Adam was in a place where God had made him in his own image. He knew God. He couldn't be more like God than he possibly was already. He was walking with God. He was clothed in his glory. He was trusting God for absolutely everything. And he was eating from the tree of life. And the picture of the tree of life is one of getting everything from the Father. And I think kids can be a great example of this as well. Initially, my kids were at a place where, growing up, they came to me, they're asking me everything. Like they really believe with all their heart, I have the answer to every single question in the world. And for some parents, I'm sure you recognize that point that they get to where it's like, why? Why? You give the best answer possible, but why? And they just keep asking why, because they just want to extract more and more, because you know that everything that there is to know. And I remember with my son Jonathan, probably about 5 years old, and he gets to this point and he keeps, why, why? And in the end I was like, I don't know. I just don't know. And his little face, he looks up and he's like, but you're my dad. You know everything. And I think this walk with God is at a place where he wants us to remain in that place. But you're my dad, you know everything. Now I'm man and I don't know everything, but God does. And Satan came along with a plan. Satan knew that God wasn't going to one day turn around to Adam and say, I don't know everything. So he thought, how else can I ruin this kind of childlike place of, you're my dad, you know everything. And so he came up with a plan and he said, Adam's already like God. But Satan said, eat from the tree that God's told you not to, because it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat from that, what he's really saying is not you'll be like God, you'll be God. You won't have to go to the source of knowledge. You'll be the source of knowledge. You'll know everything that you need to know. You can pursue everything in life that you want to pursue. The tree looks good. Pursue the things that look good to you. And so Adam, Eve, they fall for this trap and they fall into sin. And actually, if you really look at what their sin was disobeying God. It's disobedience. But why did they disobey God? Because they stopped listening to God. They started listening to one another. They started listening to Satan. Stopped listening to God. And so the importance for us is that I wonder if we're not listening to God, is there a good chance that we're disobeying God? So Adam and Eve fell. They're now naked, ashamed, eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God doesn't want to leave them in this place. He comes up with a redemptive plan. He sends his son Jesus to die, to pay the price for their sins. And he wants to restore them. And he wants to take them on a journey of making them back into the image of Jesus. And so, scripture, it says he sends a helper. He sends his Holy Spirit. So that through his Holy Spirit, we can hear God in all of these different ways. And he can teach us how to be obedient. He can teach us how to become more like him. And as we listen to his voice, as we seek him for what he wants, as we let him go and change the areas of our life that need to be changed, the Holy Spirit guides us in this process of making us more like Jesus. And the next is so that we can help others to know God and we can help others to become more like Jesus. Did you realize that at one point there's only 11 of Jesus' disciples left? Jesus had died, he'd been risen again, he was alive. And so he sends a message to his disciples. He sends the gospel, actually. The gospel is good news. And he sends the good news message that he's alive. And so people come and they share the message, they preach to the disciples and they say, he's risen, Jesus is alive. And it says, none of his 11 disciples believed the message. If we look at Mark 16, it says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Without the disciples hearing God, having an encounter with God for themselves, they wasn't able to go and share the good news with others. Share that Jesus had risen, that he was alive, that they could have a relationship with Jesus. And so for us, it's so important that in order for us to be able to go into the world and share faith with others, we've got to have an encounter with Jesus for ourselves. We've got to be hearing his voice for ourselves. So then God talks to us clearly. But the next question is, how do we respond to God? And there were a few people in the Bible that they were eating from the tree of life. They were hearing his voice. They were obeying and responding to God. Complete obedience. And so one of those, and the part that I saw before, was Abraham. And Abraham's turned around, God's turned around to Abraham, and he wants to test him. And he wants to know, where's my boy? Now, if I just go back a little bit, when I was 11 years old, I was the apple of my mum's eye. Couldn't have done a thing wrong. It's very sweet, and I was her boy. And then 11... I started smoking. And by 13, I started gambling. By 15, my dad will tell you, I got so badly drunk the first time that he thought he was going to have to take me to hospital and get my stomach pumped. And it just went downhill from there, if it could go any further downhill. And until the age of about 26, my life just got more and more messed up. And eventually, God got a hold of me. It's a whole other story, but he got a hold of me, brought me back into track. I revealed himself to me, I heard him, I heard his voice, gave my life back to Jesus so that he could start making me into his image again. And then I sat down with my mum and I shared the whole experience with my mum. And she turned around, tears in her eyes, and she said, when you was 11 years old, I lost my Gary. She said, and for all these years I've been crying out to God, where's my Gary? Where's he gone? Says, and now I see my Gary. Now I've got him back. And you know, when Adam was in the garden and he was hiding, God shouted out, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. He could see him. You know what he's actually saying? Where's my boy? Where's my Adam gone? Where's the boy that loves me for everything, that obeys me? What's happened? And it begins the journey of restoration. And so now the same for Abraham. God's actually testing Abraham and he's going, are you still my boy? Are you still my Abraham? And so it says he tested him. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. And then God told him to sacrifice his son. How did Abraham respond? Instant obedience. The next morning, early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, and he went to go and begin the journey, sacrificing his son. And this is why it's good that Abraham continued to listen for God, because further on, Genesis 22:11 says, but an angel of the Lord cried out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Now there's three things that I want you to take from this. The first is that Abraham needed to be continually listening for God. Couldn't just go on the last thing. We need to be continually listening for God. The second is Abraham's response. Here I am. And the third is that God desires obedience more than sacrifice. He didn't want the sacrifice of his son. He wanted Abraham's obedient heart. Now we look at Jacob, also in Genesis. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night. Jacob, Jacob, here I am, he replied. I am the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid. Go down to Egypt. I'll make you into a great nation. And I will go to Egypt with you. Let's look at Moses. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from the burning bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to bring Pharaoh to Pharaoh and bring the people out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. If you notice something in this, Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, Jacob, Jacob, they all reply, here I am. And then after that, God asks them to do something tough, but he promises to be with them. And when God calls us, he may ask us to do things that are uncomfortable, but he always promises that he'll be with us in what he asks us to do. Reuben and Ena are at a place now where they've just been rebuilding their life and relationships in Mount Boss, and God's come along. Reuben, Reuben, Ena, Ena, I want you to do something. And their response to God is, here we are. Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And they know that God promises to be with them. And for some of us, we might want to go somewhere. Maybe South Africa's getting a little bit uncomfortable. And actually, we want to go somewhere else, more comfortable. Is God calling you to stay rather than to go? Now we'll look at Samuel. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now it's interesting that God did speak to some people like Jacob, Moses, Samuel. But not many people at this point was really hearing God. And if they was, it was through prophets. And there wasn't so many prophets then. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak, that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was. The Lord called out to Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli. Here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went back and he laid down, and again a second time, God calls out, Samuel. Eli answers, here I am. Samuel answers, here I am, goes to Eli. And again it happens a third time. Now it's interesting that after this, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now have you seen this? the ark of the Lord, the very presence of God. As the scripture before us, it says Samuel was ministering in God's presence. The very presence of God was there. He was doing God's work, and it says he did not yet know the Lord. He hadn't he'd heard God talking, but he didn't recognize it was God. And quite often we can be hearing God talk and not recognize. There's that scripture we don't like in the Bible which says, and on that day many will say, but we ministered in your name. We drove out demons, we prophesied, and I say, away from me, I never knew you. Samuel could be ministering under the Lord, but until he heard God for himself, encountered God for himself, he didn't know him. And that's why it's so important for us to come to a place where we hear God for ourselves, recognize he has been talking to us. I'd be surprised if there's a person in this room that God has not been talking to. The question is, you recognize that it's God talking or not? So the next time he calls, and eventually Eli realizes God's calling you. So he tells Samuel, says, go back, lay back down, and know that it's God calling you. So then Eli goes back, he lays down, God calls him again. Now this word, here I am, what does it mean? Because if you're anything like me, at this point I was just going, my goodness me, there is something in this response. And what does this response mean? The Hebrew word for it, it's basically, it's a response that you respond to either a father or a master. Or in God's case, both, father and master. The Hebrew word is hineni, hineni. And it means at your service. Remember that genie in the lamp? Your wish is my command. Here I am, ready, willing, and able. And we see this when when Samuel realizes it's God calling. And God calls again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answers, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so something of our response to God. When I woke up, when I thought I heard God talking, and I woke up like that, sure, my heart was one of reverent and worshipful fear, and it was like, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You hear God in that clear, in that way. And so I got to thinking about this, and I thought, man, how cool would it be to hear God like that all the time, like Samuel, hey? So I was sat there chatting away, saying, oh, God, I'd really love to have this kind of relationship with you where I could just hear you this audibly all the time. I mean, sure, I could bring prophecies and words and it would just be amazing. Speak to people and they'd go, yeah, they'd get saved just at what was said. And then I felt God turn around to me and he said, okay, what price would you be prepared to pay? At what cost for you to be able to hear me like that? And then I was like, Yeah, you ask these guys to do some pretty radical things. There's a responsibility to be able to hear you in that way, that I've got to be obedient. Am I prepared to pay whatever the cost is? And I shared this with my wife, and that got her to think the same question. But then she was thinking, sure, am I prepared to pay the cost? And so she said, God, you tell me what the cost is first, then I'll tell you if I want to hear you audibly. And actually, here I am means, God, the answer's yes. Now, what's the question? The answer's yes. Now, what do you want me to do? As I continued to just ponder on this, I realized, you know what? What else is there? What else is there in life that I could hold on to that would be more important than laying it down? To be able to walk in the fullness of a relationship of hearing God. I'm only qualified to be an elder because there are certain qualifications that you need. And I'm only qualified because at some point I've heard God and eventually I've obeyed God. And two of those qualifications, one is an elder must not be given to much wine. And I had a whole problem with drink. God saved me from it. 10 years later, I felt it was okay to just start drinking wine. Not get drunk, but start drinking wine. And I heard God clearly tell me to stop. It's a different story on its own, but he told me, stop. And so it did take me a few months, but then he spoke even louder. And at that point, I responded and stopped. But one of the other things is an elder must be the husband of one wife. Now, if I didn't hear God, I wouldn't be married in the first place. I wouldn't be saved in the first place, let alone married. I don't know where I'd be. And God spoke to me clearly about my wife. And we'd just been out one night, just as friends, having a coffee. And on the way back, God said to me, this is your wife. Clear as anything. And so I'm like, okay, well, if this is God, I need to know it's God. Because I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to go and chase what's not of God. And so I said, God, if this is you, I want to be obedient, but if this is you, then just come and confirm this. And so a few days later, we was in a church outside Joburg, a township church, and there was a prophet there. And the prophet prophesied over both of us and said, husband and wife, as clear as anything, whole other story. To the point where she said, you guys aren't married already, are you even listening to God? Are you hearing? Are you being obedient? And she was right. And so we got married 5 months after that. Before we got married, my wife told me, I don't love you. How can I love you? I barely know you. I'm being obedient to God because I know he spoke. And I told her, I do love you, but I don't like you very much. And I didn't like her very much. There was a few things. There was a brokenness. But God had called me to love her. And he'd called me to love her into wholeness. And he'd called me to walk a journey. And it's the same for us. Jesus loves us. He died for us. I think there's times when he doesn't like us very much. But he does love us. And he has obeyed to the Father to come and walk a journey with us, to love us into wholeness, to love us back into the image of Christ. And so that comes to the question, do you know him? Isaiah says, I've revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am. All day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. Such a beautiful picture. Jesus turns around to us, even if we don't know him. And he says, here I am, at your service. I've laid down my life for you. I've died for you. To come into relationship with the Lord, to love you back into the wholeness. He's been speaking to us. And so I just want to create a moment. We just close our eyes for a second. Revelation says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I want to create a moment for each and every one of us. He's standing at the door and knocking. Do you know him? Have you recognized his voice? He's been talking, he's been calling. Do you recognize it? And so just for a second, I'm going to go quiet. I'm going to give you a chance to just really listen. Hear if he's calling you. And I want to ask for a response. In this moment, you feel that the Lord is calling out your name. Where's my boy? Where's my girl? I knew you since before you was born. I've watched your life. Yes, there's been things that I've not liked, but I love you. I want my boy back. I want my girl back. And if that's you, you just respond by just putting up your hand. Just respond by saying, I hear you. Just while we're in this moment, for all of us, he is standing at our door knocking. That same thing goes, have we wandered off? Have we been eating from the tree of knowledge, running around in our own imaginations, chasing things that aren't of the Lord? Are we really stopping to hear him? Are we saying to him, here I am, I lay down my life for you. What do you want of me? The answer's yes. Now what's the question? Is he speaking to us and we haven't been listening? And just a moment to respond in that. And then the final call. Are you ready, willing, and able? Are you in a place of here I am to help others know him and become more like him? Scripture says, how can they know? How can they call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one that they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching the good news to them? Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom will I go? And whom will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Maybe if the worship guys can just come up for a second. I do want to give us a chance to respond to this. Do you want to hear God? Do you want to hear him more than you do? You want to become more like Jesus? And so if you do, if you're in a place where you want to hear God, and you are ready to obey when you hear, then I want to call you up. And they're just going to play the chorus of a beautiful song. The full lyrics is where God is singing over and is calling his people. And they're going to play the response. And the response is, Lord, here I am. Send me. And as they play that, if you're ready to respond to God, won't you come up to the front? To say, here I am, send me.